Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Evans, Minister of 12th South Apostolic Seventh Turn. Congregation on South 11th Hour. I'm now South 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is the 7th day Sabbath. It is April the 26th, 2025, or it is the 29th day of Abib, 2029. We will start our first service today for the continuation of our last study. It is called In Joseph's Tomb. And we're on, I believe, chapter 80. I believe it was. Or chapter 79. Chapter 79. And we're going to pick up on page 774, and then title part two of In Joseph's Tomb. This is gently and reverently they removed with their own hands the body of Yeshua from the cross. For their tears of the sympathy fell fast as they looked upon his bruised and lacerated form. For the Joseph owned a new tomb hewn in a rock. This he was reserving for himself, but it was near Calvary, and he now prepared it for the Yeshua. For the body together with the spices brought by the Nicodemus was carefully wrapped in a linen sheet, and the Redeemer was born to the tomb. There the three disciples strengthened the mangled limbs and folded the bruised hand upon the cross's breast. For the Galilean women came to see that all had been done that should be done for the lost form of the beloved teacher. Then they saw the heavy stone rolled against the entrance of the tomb, and the Savior was left at rest. For the women were last at the cross, and last at the tomb of the Yeshua. While the evening shades were gathering, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary lingered about the resting place of their Savior, shedding tears of the sorrow over the fate of him whom they loved, and they returned and rested the Sabbath day according unto the commandment. Luke 23:50. That was a never to be forgotten Sabbath for the sorrowing disciples and also for the priests, Jewish scribes and people. At the setting of the sun on the evening of the preparation day, the trumpet sounded, signifying that the Sabbath had begun, for the Passover was observed as it had been for centuries, while he and to whom it pointed had been slain by the wicked hands and lay in the Joseph's tomb on the Sabbath. The courts of the temple were filled with the worshipers. The high priest from the Golgotha was this splendidly robed in his sacerdotal garment, white turbaned priests full of the activity performed their duty, but some present were not at rest as the blood of the bulls and goats was offered for sin, for they were not conscious that type had met antitype, that an infinite sacrifice had been made for the sins of the world, for they knew not that there was no further value in the performance of the ritual service. But never before had that service been witnessed with such conflicting feelings, for the trumpets and the musical instruments and the voices of the singers were as loud and clear as the usual, but a sense of the strangeness pervaded everything. One after another inquired about a strange event that had taken place. Hitherto, the most holy place had been sacredly guarded from the intrusion, but now it was open unto all eyes, for the heavy veil of the tapestry, made of the pure linen and beautifully wrought with the gold, scarlet, and purple, was rent from top to bottom, for the place where the Yahshua had met with the high priest to communicate his glory, the place that had been the Yahweh's audience chamber, lay open unto every eye, as a place that no longer recognized that was no longer recognized by the Yahshua, with the gloomy presentments the priest ministered before. Let's do that again. His glory, as the place that had been the Father's sacred audience chamber, lay open unto every eye, as a place no longer being recognized by the Yahweh the Father, with the gloomy presentments the priest ministered before the altar for the discovering of the sacred mystery of the most holy place, filled them with the dread of the coming calamity. Many minds were busy with the thoughts started by the scene of the Calvary, from the crucifixion and to the resurrection. Many sleepless eyes were constantly searching the prophecies, some for the learning of the full meaning of the faith that they were then celebrating, with some to find evidence that the Yahshua was not what he claimed to be, and others with the sorrowful hearts were searching for the proof that he was the true Messiah, though searching with the different objects in the view, all were convicted of the same truth. That prophecy had been fulfilled in the events of the past few days, and that the crucified one was the world's redeemer. Many who at that time united in the service never again took part in the paschal rites, for the many even of the priests were convicted of the true character of the Yahshua. For the churching of the prophecy had not been in vain, and after his resurrection, they were with the acknowledgement of him as the Son of the Yahweh. For the Nicodemus, when he saw the Yahshua lifted up on the cross, rendered remembered his words spoken by the night in the Mount of the Olives, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:14-15. On that Sabbath when Yahshua lay in the grave, Nicodemus had opportunity for the reflection, for a clearer light now illuminated his mind, and the words that Yahshua had spoken unto him were no longer mysterious, for he felt that he had lost much enough of connecting himself with the Savior during his life. Now he recalled the events of the Calvary, for the prayer of Yahshua for his murderers, and his answer for the petition of the dying as he spoke unto the heart of the learned counselor. Again he looked upon the Savior in his agony. Again he heard that last cry, "It is finished," spoken like the words of a conqueror. Again he beheld the reeling earth, the darkened heavens, the rent veil, the shivered rocks, and his faith was forever established for the very event that destroyed the hopes of the disciples, convinced that Joseph and Nicodemus of the divinity of Yahshua. Their fears were overcome by the courage of a firm and unwavering faith. It says that never had the Yahshua attracted the attention of the multitude as now, that he was laid in the tomb according unto their practice, for the people brought their sick and suffering ones to the temple court, inquiring, "Who can tell us of Yahshua of Nazareth?" Many had come from far for the finding him who had healed the sick and raised the dead. On every side was heard the cry, "We want Yahshua, the healer." Upon this occasion, those who were thought to show indications of the leprosy were examined by the priest. Many were forced to hear their husbands, wives, or children pronounced leprous and doomed to go forth from the shelter of their homes and the care of their friends. To warn off the stranger with the mournful cry, "Unclean, unclean, the friendly hands of the Yahshua of the Nazareth that never refused to touch with the healing the loathsome leper," was folded on his breast, the lips that had answered his petition with the comforting words, "I will be thou clean," Matthew 8:3, were now solid. Many appealed unto the chief priests and rulers for the sympathy and relief, but in vain. Apparently they were determined to have the living Yahshua among them again. With the persistent earnestness, they asked for him. They would not be turned away, but they were driven from the temple courts, and soldiers were stationed at the gates to keep back the multitude that came with their sick and dying demanding entrance. For the shepherd who had come to be healed by the Savior sank under their disappointment, for the streets were filled with the mourning. The sick were dying for the want of the healing touch of the Yahshua. Physicians were consulted in vain. There was no skill like that of him who lay in the Joseph's tomb. For the mourning cries of the suffering ones brought home unto thousands of the mind the conviction that a great light had gone out of the world. Without the Yahshua, the earth was blackness and darkness. Many whose voices had swelled the cry of the crucify him, crucify him, now realized the calamity that had fallen upon them and would as eagerly have cried, "Give us Yahshua, had he still been alive." When the people learned that Yahshua had been put to death, by the priest inquiries were made regarding his death, for the particulars of his trial were kept as private as possible. That during the time when he was in the grave, his name was on thousands of the lips, and reports of his mock trial and of the inhumanity of the priests and rulers were circulated everywhere by the men of the intellect, for these priests and rulers were called upon to explain the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah, and while trying to frame some falsehood in the reply, they became like men insane. For the prophecy that pointed to Yahshua's suffering and death, they could not explain, and many inquirers were convinced that the scriptures had been fulfilled. For the revenge which the priest had thought would be so sweet was already bitterness unto them, for they knew that they were meeting the severe senses of the people, for they knew that the very ones whom they had influenced against the Yahshua was now horrified by their own shameful work. For the priests had tried to believe Yahshua as a deceiver, but it was in the vain. Some of them had stood by the grave of the Lazarus and had seen the dead brought back to life, for they trembled for the fear that the Yahshua would himself rise from the dead and again appear before them, for they had heard him declare that he had power to lay down his life and to take it again. For they remembered that he had said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." John 2:19. For the Jews had told them that the words spoken by the Yahshua to the disciples while on the last journey to Jerusalem, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." Matthew 28:19. When they heard these words, they had mocked and ridicule, but now they remembered that the Yahshua's prediction had so far been fulfilled, for he had said that he would rise again the third day. And who could say that this also would not come to pass? For they longed to shut out these thoughts, but they could not. Likewise, their father, the devil, they believed and trembled. Now that the frenzy of the excitement was past, the image of the Yahshua would intrude upon their mind, for they beheld him as he stood serene and uncomplaining before his enemy and suffering without a murmur. Their taunts and abuse, all the events of his trial and crucifixion, came back to them with an overpowering conviction that he was the Son of the Yahweh, for they felt that he might at any time stand before them as the accused, for the becoming of the accuser, for the condemning, for the condemned to be condemn, for he was the Son. Let's do that again. For he was the Son of the Yahweh, for they felt that he might at any time stand before them as the accused to become the accuser, for the condemned to condemn, for the slain to demand justice in the death of his murderers. They could rest little upon the Sabbath, though they would not step over a gentle threshold for the fear of the defilement, yet they held a council concerning the body of the Yahshua. Death and the grave must hold by him whom they had crucified. For the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Yes, sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by the night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." For the pilot said unto them, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." Matthew 27:62-65. For the priest gave direction for the securing of the sepulcher, for a great stone had been placed before the opening, and across the stone they placed the cords securing the ends to the solid rock and sealing them with the Roman seal, for the stone could not be moved without the breaking the seal. For a guard of 100 soldiers was then stationed around the sepulcher to prevent it from being tampered with, for the priests did all they could to keep Yahshua's body where it had been laid, for he was sealed as securely in his tomb as if he were to remain there to all time. So weak men counseled and planned. Little did these murderers realize the uselessness of their effort, that by their action Yahweh was glorified for the very efforts made for the preventing Yahshua's resurrection are the most convincing arguments and is true. For the greater the number of the soldiers placed around the tomb, the stronger would be the testimony that he had risen. For the hundreds of years before the death of Yahshua, the Holy Spirit had declared through the psalmist, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For the kings of the earth sit themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Yahweh and against the Yahshua and against his anointed. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Yahshua shall have them in the derision." Psalms 2:1-4. Roman guards and Roman arms were powerless to confine the Yahshua of the life within the tomb, for the hour of his release was near. End of chapter 79. Now we're in our chapter 80, where the Yahshua is risen now, is the title of our next chapter. That's chapter 81 of the Desire of Ages. For the night of the first day of the week has worn slowly away, for the darkest hour just before the daybreak had come, Yahshua was still a prisoner in his narrow tomb. For the great stone was in its place, for the Roman seal was unbroken, for the Roman guards were keeping their watch, and there were unseen watchers. Hosts of the evil angels were gathered about the place. Had it been possible, the prince of the darkness with his apostate army would have kept forever sealed the tomb that held the Son of the Yahweh. But a heavenly host surrounded the sepulcher. Angels that excelled in their strength were guarding the tomb and waiting to welcome the Prince of the Life. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Yahweh descended from the heaven, clothed with the panoply of Yahweh. This angel left the heavenly court, the bright beams of Yahweh's righteousness went before him and illuminated his pathway. His countenance was like the lightning, and his raiment were white as snow, and for fear of him that keepeth, did shake and become as a dead man. Now priests and rulers were in the tower of your guard. Brave the soldiers that have never been afraid of human power are now as captives, taken without a sword or spear, for the face they look upon is not the face of the mortal warrior. It is the face of the mightiest of the Yahweh's host. This messenger is he who fills the position from which Satan fell. It is he who on the hills of the Bethlehem proclaimed Yahshua's birth. For the earth trembles at his approach, for the host of the darkness flee, and as he rolls away the stone, heaven seems to come down to the earth. For the soldiers see him removing the stone as he would a pebble, and hear him cry, "Son of Yahweh, come forth. Thy father calls thee." They see Yahshua come forth from the grave and hear him proclaim over the rent sepulchre, "I am the resurrection and the life." As he comes forth in majesty and glory, the angel host bow low in the adoration before the Redeemer and welcome him with the songs of praise. For an earthquake marked the hour when Yahshua laid down his life, and another earthquake witnessed the moment when he stood it, and he took it up in the triumph. He who had vanquished death and the grave came forth from the tomb with the tread of a conqueror amid the reeling of the earth, the flashing of the lightning, and the roaring of the thunder, when he shall come to the earth again, he will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. For the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, for the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, for the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, that the Yahshua will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of the Israel. Hebrews 12:26, Isaiah 24:20, 34:4, 2 Peter 3:10, Joel 3:16. At the death of Yahshua, the soldiers had beheld the earth wrapped in the darkness at midday. But at the resurrection, they saw the brightness of the angels illuminate the night, and heard the inhabitants of the heavens singing with a great joy and triumph, "Thou hast vanquished Satan and the powers of the darkness. Thou hast swallowed up death in victory." For Yahshua came forth from the tomb glorified, and the Roman guard beheld him, for their eyes were riveted upon the face of him whom they had so recently mocked and derided. And this glorified being they beheld, the prisoner whom they had seen in the judgment hall, the one for whom they had planted a crown of thorns. This was the one who had stood unresisting before the pilot here. He from this form lacerated by the cruel scourge. This was he who had been nailed to the cross, at whom the priests and rulers, full of self-satisfaction, and regular his sin. This he saved others, himself he cannot save. Matthew 27:42. This was he who had been held in the Joseph's new tomb, for the decree of the heaven had loosed the captives. Mountains piled upon mountains over his sepulcher could not have prevented him from coming forth. At the sight of the angels and the glorified Savior, the Roman guard had fainted and become a dead man. When the heavenly train was hidden from their view, they arose onto their feet, and as quickly as their trembling limbs could carry them, made their way to the gate of the garden, staggering like a drunken man. They hurried on to the city, telling those whom they met the wonderful news, for they were making their way under Pilate, but their report had been carried to the Jewish authorities, and the chief priests and the rulers sent for them to be brought first into their presence for a strange appearance of those soldiers presented, for the trembling with the fear, their faces are colorless. They bore the testimony to the resurrection of the Asher, for the soldiers told all just as they had seen it, for they had not had time to think or speak anything but the truth. With a painful utterance, they said it was the Son of Yahweh who was crucified. We have heard an angel proclaiming him as the majesty of the heaven, as the king of his glory. For the faces of the priests were as those of the dead. Caiaphas tried to speak, his lips moved, but they uttered no sound. The soldiers were about to leave the council room when a voice stayed them, for the Caiaphas had at last found speech. Wait, he said. Tell no one the things that you have seen. A lying report was then given to the soldier. Say yes, and the priest, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we always said. Here the priest overreached himself. How could the soldiers say that the disciples had stolen the body while they slept if they were asleep? How could they know? And if the disciples had been proved guilty of the stealing Yahshua's body, would not the priest have been first to condemn them? Or if the sentinels had slept at the tomb, would not the priest have been foremost in the accusing them unto the pilot? For the soldiers were horrified at the thought of the bringing upon themselves the charge of the sleeping at their post. This was an offense punishable with death, should they bear false witness, deceiving the people and placing their own lives in peril, had they not kept they're very awash with the sleepless vigilante. How could they stand the trial even for the sake of money if they perjured themselves? In order for the silence of the testimony, he feared the priest promised to secure the safety of the guards, saying that the pilot would not desire to have such a report circulated any more than they did. For the Roman soldiers sold their integrity to the Jews for the money. So they came in before the priest burdened with a most startling message of the truth. For they went out with a burden of the money and on their tongues a lying report which had been framed for them by the priest. Meanwhile, the report of the Yahshua's resurrection had been carried to the pilot. For though pilot was responsible for the having given Yahshua up to die, he had been comparatively unconcerned, while he had condemned the Savior unwillingly, and with a feeling of the pity he had felt no real compunction until now. In the terror, he now shut himself within his house, determined to see no one. But the priests made their way into his presence, told the story which they had invented, and urged him to overlook the sentinel's neglect of the duty. Before consenting unto this, he himself privately questioned the guard. Were they fearing for their own safety? Dared not conceal anything, and Pilate drew from them an account of all that had taken place. For he did not prosecute the matter further, but from that time there was no peace for him. When the Yahshua was laid in the grave, Satan triumphed. He dared to hope that the Savior would not take up his life again, for he claimed the Yahshua's body and set his guard about the tomb, seeking for the holding of the Yahshua as a prisoner, for he was bitterly angry when his angels fled at the approach of the heavenly messenger. When he saw the Yahshua come forth in the triumph, he knew that his kingdom would have an end and that he must finally die. For the priest and the putting Yahshua to death had made themselves the tools of the Satan. Now they were entirely in his power, for they were entangled in a snare from which they saw no escape. But in the continuing of their warfare against Yahshua, when they heard the report of his resurrection, they feared the wrath of the people, for they felt that their own lives were in the danger. For the only hope for them was to prove Yahshua an impostor by the denying that he had risen. For they bribed the soldiers and secured the palace silence. For they spread their lying reports far and near, but they were witnesses whom they could not silence. Many had heard of the soldier's testimony about this cashier's resurrection, and a certain of the dead who came forth with the cashier appeared unto many and declared that he had risen. For the reports were brought to the priest of the person who had seen the risen one, and heard their testimony, for the priests and rulers were in the continual dread, lest in the walking of the streets or within the privacy of their own home, they should come face to face with the Yahshua, for they felt that there was no safety for them. Bolts and bars were but poor protection against the Son of Yahweh. By the day and night, and by the night, that all foreseen in the judgment hall, when they had cried, "His blood be on us and on our children," but before them, Matthew 27:25, nevermore would the memory of that scene fade from their minds. Nevermore would the peaceful sleep come to their pillow. When the voice of the mighty angel was heard at the Hashira's tomb, saying, "Thy father calls thee, the Savior, came forth from the grave. By the life that was in himself, now was proved the truth of his word. I lay down my life that I might take it again. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Now was fulfilled the prophecy. He has spoken unto the priest and ruler, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." John 10:17, 18:2-19. Over the rent sepulcher of the Joseph Yahshua had proclaimed in the triumph, "I am the resurrection and the life." These words could be spoken only by the deity. All created beings live by the will and power of the Yahweh, for they are dependent recipients of the life of the Yahweh. From the highest seraph unto the armless element being, all are replenished from the source of life. Only he who is one with the Father could say, "I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again." In his divinity, Yahshua possessed the power for the breaking of the bonds of death. But Yahshua rose from the dead as the first fruits of those that slept, for he was the antitype of the wave sheep. And his resurrection took place on the very day when the wave sheaf was to be presented before the Father. For more than 1,000 years, this symbolized the ceremony that had been performed. From the harvest field, with the first heads of the ripened grain were gathered. And when the people went up unto Jerusalem for the Passover, as with the sheaf of the first fruits being waved as a thank offering before the Yahweh, not until this was presented could the sickle be put to the grain, and it be gathered into the sheaves, for the sheaf dedicated unto Yahweh represented the harvest. So the Yahshua as the first fruits represented the great spiritual harvest to be gathered for the kingdom of Yahweh. For his resurrection is a type and pledge of the resurrection of all the righteous dead. For if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in the Yahshua will the Yahweh bring with him. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. As the Yahshua arose, he brought from the grave a multitude of the captives, for the earthquake at his death had rent open their grave. And when he arose, they came forth with him, for they were those who had been co-laborers with the Father, and who at the cost of their lives had borne testimony unto the truth. Now they were to be witnesses for him who had raised them from the dead. During his ministry, Yahshua had raised the dead to life. He had raised the son of a widow of Nain and the ruler's daughter and Lazarus, but they were not clothed with immortality. If they were raised, they were still subject to death, but those who came forth from the grave at the Yahshua's resurrection were raised unto everlasting life. For they ascended with him and as a trophy of his victory over death and the grave, these said to Yahshua are no longer the captives of Satan. I have redeemed them. I have brought them from the grave as the first fruits of my power to be with me where I am, and nevermore to see death or experience sorrow. For these went into the city and appeared unto me, declaring the Yahshua, that the Yahshua had risen from the dead, and we be risen with him. Thus was immortalized the sacred truth of the resurrection. For the then risen saints bore witness unto the truth of the words, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. For the resurrection was an illustration of the fulfillment of the prophecy, awaken and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of the earth, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Isaiah 26:19. To the believer, Yahshua is the resurrection and the life. And our Savior, the life that was lost through sin, is restored. For he has life in himself to quicken whom he will. He is invested with the right to give immortality, the life that he laid down in the humility, he takes up again and given to humanity. I am come, he said, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of the water, springing up into the everlasting life. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For the John 10:10-14:654. To the believer, death is not but a small matter. Yahshua speaks of it as if it were of a little moment. If a man keep my sins, he shall never see death. He shall never taste of the death. I'm telling you that Christian death is but a sleep, a moment of the silence and darkness. The life is hid with Yahshua and the Father. And when Yahshua, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. John 8:51-52, Colossians 3:4. For the voice that cried from the cross, "It is finished," was heard among the dead. It pierced the walls of the sepulchre and summoned the sleepers to arise. Thus will it be when the voice of Yahshua shall be heard from the heaven. The voice will penetrate the grave and unbar the tombs, and the dead in Yahshua shall arise. At the Savior's resurrection, a few graves were opened, but at his second coming, all the precious dead shall bear his glory and shall come forth unto the glorious immortal life. For the same power that raised Yahshua from the dead will raise his church and glorify it with him above all principalities, above all powers, above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. This brings into chapter 81 and our study for today.